I'd like to take this opportunity to give you a little basis to this project. When this thing started, it was like a bear cub, you know, cute and cuddly. And as it matured, it turned into the version that would eat you alive. So this was one that really progressed and really came into a lot of data which turned out on the good side to be able to accumulate a lot of data. The methods that we took to do this is we acquired imagery from two different sources. In 2006, we acquired imagery from the Wilbur Ellis Company, and they had a relationship with John Deere Company. In 2007, the imagery was provided by Endtime. And each one of these companies separated the vigor classes into three vigor zones for us. 2006, we actually did whole fields on six whole fields. In 2007, we did three whole fields. We collected georeference plant height by going out and actually scouting using pocket PCs, which were equipped with GPS, compact flash GPS units. And then we took that data and compared it to the vigor zone maps and soil maps that you can acquire free from the NRCS. So we wanted to overlay those maps with our data that we had, with our georeferenced data. Then we came in at the harvest time and we collected yield data. We used a John Deere 7445 cotton stripper that had a burr extractor on it, but that unit had a AgriPlan yield monitor on it as well, so we could collect yield data as we harvested through the field. All of our data was analyzed with analysis of variance and LSD at the 0.05 level of confidence. The first few images here, I just wanted you to see the different images that we kind of started off with. This was an image we acquired in 2005 from Wilbur Ellis, where they separated that out into vigor zones. The same type of imagery that we acquired in 2007 from Endtime, just a little different format in the way that they present their data. Here's a soil map that we acquired from the NRCS. And then these are management zones that were created using the vigor imagery that was previously acquired. And this is the type of map that you would use if you was going to make management decisions based on vigor zone throughout the field. I wanted to run through one field in a turnkey manner, meaning from what we acquired at the first to the end, and I don't want to get too bogged down in the data involved in these slides because it's kind of difficult to follow in times, but I wanted you to see how we came up with it. And then I've got some tables on further out through the presentation that will give you the actual numbers a little better. But in this image here, you know, you've got your brown zones where you get your lower biomass, and the darker the green, the higher the biomass, and that middle light green area is the middle vigor zones. Then we took that, we had the application map, or a management zone map, if you will, and then we overlaid each one of the data points that we collected, the georeference data points, on each one of those where we collected plant height data. And then we were able to summarize that data by soil type. And in this particular image, you can see that we've got three soil types: an Amarillo fine sandy loam, an Avanus fine sandy loam, and a Modessa fine sandy loam. And then each one of the points has got a color code to it, and that's the point that it's really difficult to kind of follow here, but we'll get into a data table with the actual data on it here in a minute. I just wanted to be able to show you how we summarize that information. Then we took that same management map, harvested strips all the way across, and each one of these is a six 30-inch row strips across that field in numerous places. And then, of course, the darker the red, the poorer the yield, and the darker the green, the higher the yield. And we did that based on this type of imagery by vigor zone or management zone. And then we did it again based on soil type as well. And then we collected and summarized that data. And as we get into the data, this is where you start to see, you know, the meat and the potatoes of the whole thing. This first field here, the Oberto field, You know, you've got your high and your low across the top here, and then your high vigor zone and your medium vigor zone did not significantly differ in plant height, but the high did differ from the low vigor zone. Similarly, on this Bamert field, the high and the medium didn't significantly differ, but the high did differ from the low. And in both of these fields, the medium didn't significantly differ from the high or the low. I always really like it when my data really gets muddy like that, but it does at times give you an out. This bird field, the high was significantly greater in plant height compared to the low and the medium, and neither of those were significantly different than each other. The Clark field, the plant height in the high vigor zone was significantly greater than all others, and the medium and the low vigor zones were similar. The East Watson field here, the high was significantly different than the low, but neither was significantly different from the middle vigor zone. The Harrington Hilltop field, the high and low and medium were all significantly different than each other. The home place here, every farm's got a home place, so I had to make sure I threw that one in. But the high and the middle vigor zones did not significantly differ from each other, but both were significantly different than the low. There were no significant differences at all in these bottom two fields, the North Harrington nor the Sailor fields. On July 19th, which was approximately a week to 10 days prior, the other data was collected around July the 12th, and this is 2 years of data, so that could have been off a day or so, but in this same time period, really close period. But the next week to 10 days later, the bird field here had significant differences all the way across all vigor zones. High being just, and it fell out like you would expect it to, the high, medium, and low vigor, and that correlated well to the plant height that we observed. The Clark field, again, the high vigor zone was significantly greater than the medium and the low, but the medium and the low didn't significantly differ from each other. The East Watson field, the high and the medium were not significantly different, but both were significantly greater in plant height than the low vigor zone. The North Harrington field, the high and the medium, again, were not significantly different from each other, but both were significantly greater compared to the low vigor zone. Then we went ahead and come all the way out to August the 10th, and at this point in time, we would hope that our plant growth is finished. We don't want any more growth after this point. And using the same image, we didn't acquire a new image every time. We're still using the same image. The bird field comes in, and the high vigor zone is significantly greater than the medium, and the medium is significantly greater than the low. It fell out as you would expect. The Clark field, again, it fell out. The high vigor zone was greater plant height compared to the low and the medium, and the low and the medium were not significant different from each other. Significantly different from each other. The East Watson field, the high vigor zone provided a higher plant height than did the low and the medium, and the low and the mediums were not significantly different from each other. Then on the Harrington Hilltop, there were no significant differences between any of the vigor zones. And the North Harrington field, it fell out kind of odd for us here. The middle vigor zone actually had a little greater plant height compared to the high vigor zone. And another one of those anomalies that make you appreciate data collection. Then we took those same vigor zones and looked at yield. And we only collected yield on five fields, two in 2006, three in 2007. There are thousands of data points in this data collection. The high vigor zone across here in the Clark field was significantly greater than the middle, and the middle was significantly greater in yield than the low. And that followed suit pretty evenly throughout. The Harrington Hilltop fell in similarly, you know, coming in at right at a 3 bale in the high vigor, a 1,400 pound area here in the middle, and a 1,250-pound or so in the low. The North Harrington, it still fell out. You know, we're looking at probably about a 50-pound or, you know, 60-pound difference here between the high and the low, but it was able to significantly separate those two, and then each one of them were significantly different from each other throughout the vigor zones. The East Watson, the middle vigor zone here, actually had a greater yield than others, but not a, you know, you're looking at less than 40 pounds between it and the high vigor zone, but it was significantly less. And then the low vigor zone was not significantly different from the high or the middle vigor zone. The bird field came in, and the high vigor zone provided the highest yield, but it was not significantly different than the middle vigor zone, but both were significantly greater than the low vigor zone. And taking all that data, if you really look at the percentages across the board, you're looking at, if you're comparing the high vigor zone to the middle vigor zone or the medium vigor zone, you're looking at a 4.8% difference in yield between those two zones, and that ranged from 0.3 to 8.9%. And if you compare the middle vigor zone or the medium vigor zone to the low vigor zone, you're only looking at a 9% or 9.8% difference in yield when you compare those two vigor zones. And then if you take the extreme spread and compare the low vigor zone to the high vigor zone, you get an average of 22% difference in yield when you compare those two, and with a range that comes in at 3.3% up to 28.6%. When we looked at the data by soil type, we found no significant differences in plant height in 65% of the data sets. Then when we did find the significant differences between plant height comparing to soil types, as you can see right here, that there were relatively small increments till you get out here to this one site or one data set right here. But they did range, where we did find significance, anywhere from 1.5 to 9.8 inches. We were able to see a significant yield response by soil type, as you would expect, in 4 out of the 5 fields, and that ranged from anywhere from 11 to 30% difference in yield based on soil type. In conclusion, we're looking at the imagery provided better results when you look at, compared to the soil types to differentiate vigor groups. There was a very small difference when you looked at the average plant difference between the high and the low. It was only 2 inches, which impressively enough indicates an uncanny ability for the imagery to be able to separate those vigor groupings with such small differences in actual plant height. Both image products were successful in doing this. We did see less than a 10% yield difference in adjacent zones in 9 of 10 comparisons. Here, you always hate answering a question with a question, but I did here. Do these observed differences justify of managing these fields based on vigor zone, and how many classes would actually be needed? And when you look back and think about the data on plant height, you know, we looked at statistical differences. Most of those were actually grouped into two separate categories there. So in this case, maybe two categories vigor would have been plenty. I'd love to kind of look at that, but that's kind of where we came out. And the bottom line is if that is the case, then and that we're looking at such small differences, I'm not sure that the time and effort and expense on this type of fields and this type of things would actually justify being able to manage these fields based on this type of separation. And with that, I would like to acknowledge the folks that helped us out with this, the Wilbur Ellis Company, who provided imagery in 2006, and InTime for providing imagery in 2007, and then our participating producers who allowed us to go out and stomp through their fields and just bother them till no end. And then I'd like to thank the Texas A&M University system and their cropping systems program for the funding for this program. And with that, I've got the stop sign, and I'll call it a good.
Well, we're running a little bit ahead of schedule. We've got about a minute. If anybody would like to ask a question, feel free to do so.
How did you develop your statistics for comparing yields?
I was really afraid somebody was going to ask that question, and I am going to have to defer that to Dr. Terry Wheeler, and I would like to, before she answers that, because she's in the room, I'd like to thank her because when this bear got really big and started growling, she is the one that bailed me out on this and helped me unendingly. And now I would like to defer to Terry to answer that question.